Welcome back to the Pre-Dead Boys. It is a podcast. Welcome back.
Did you forget what the podcast was about?
No. I forgot the award-winning part. Get off my fucking back about it, all right? We'll do it again. We'll do it live. Welcome back to the award-winning podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition, Pre-Dead Boys. We back, baby. It's me, Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. How you doing, Max?
Not too bad. I'm just checking really quick to see if Bill O'Reilly is still alive.
We don't need to.
He is. He's still gone.
Look, dude, I'm trying to start off 2021 with good news, okay? Can you not bring me down? It's a new year. Listen, Max, it's a new year. Every single one of the problems that plagued us in 2020 is now over and resolved in entirety. What have you been doing since COVID has magically disappeared?
Well, I don't think it disappears until... I guess by the time this episode comes out, it will have disappeared because Biden will have been inaugurated.
Yeah, the inauguration of the American presidency is supposed to be the final nail in the coffin for COVID. So
yeah,
I for one am very excited that we are finally rid of this virus that was a hoax all along. Anyway, here I am quarantined in my house because I have a roommate who contracted this virus, which is actually very real. End of sarcasm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just feeling good. I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling stoked that we're back, man. I missed you. I missed recording our conversations about death stuff.
Same, dude. I'm excited for 2020 fun. I'm excited to do 365 push-ups at the end of the year.
Yeah. Explain your bizarre fitness regimen to our listeners that you just like on a whim decided you're going to do for the rest of this year. This is fucking nuts.
So I think this may be an indication of how stupid I am about my physical health, is that I thought this was like a good idea.
It's very achievable.
On January 1st, because it was the first day of the year, I did 11 push-ups and 11 sit-ups.
It's very good. I want to commend you on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. On January 2nd, I did 12 push-ups and 12 sit-ups. And then... Like, it's kind of like an N plus one thing. So today, we're recording on January 17th. I did 27 push-ups and 27 sit-ups. And I guess I haven't really thought this out that well. And I don't know when I'm going to stop. But I feel like I'm just doing one more every day.
Yeah. And that's awesome. Like, I'm all for anything that people can do to, like, take better care of their physical health in any way, shape, or form. That's awesome. What concerns me is when you set an unrealistic standard for yourself that if you just thought ahead of time a little bit, you might recognize the problem with saying that you're going to do 365 plus 10, so 375 push-ups in one day on December 31st, which, quite frankly, is maybe the most difficult day of the year to do push-ups post-Christmas. You know, like meals and desserts with family and stuff, and pre New Year's Eve festivities. Not a lot of physical fitness going on there, man. I don't know if you're gonna be able to press through with that many hundreds of push-ups in one day.
How long do you think that would take? How long does it take to do
why are you Googling this like there's an answer? More than a day.
I'm going to share my screen really quick because I do want you to see this.
How long does it take to do a push-up? Google says 6 to 8 weeks. Okay, if you've never done a push-up and you're like working on developing the strength to do one push-up, 6 to 8 weeks, that's a good time frame. That's achievable.
Well, 30 push-ups, 15 weeks.
Okay. I mean, that seems a little absurd, but that's still less absurd than you just adding a push-up to your number every single day.
This says my personal best was 1,000 push-ups in 25 minutes.
What? Those have to be some silly looking push-ups after a while to do 1,000 within a half hour.
Yeah.
That you're just kind of flopping at that point.
Just like
that. Yeah. I doubt that person's strength personally. Anyway, we're not here to talk about fitness or strength training. Clearly. I mean, look at both of us. We're here to talk about something that is much more.
Well, look at me at the end of the year, baby.
Dude, I'd love nothing more than if you just got gigantic, like, shoulders. just shoulders. The rest of your arms are still noodles, but. No, we're here to talk about something that you probably would be able to guess that we're into based on our appearance, which is death. That's right. These nice. Couple pasty, sunken-eyed, deathly-looking boys want to talk about death. Max, you've prepared something for us to discuss today. What is it?
So, I mean, this is a topic, Dorian, that I know you've wanted to talk about for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And I don't really know why we haven't, but it was suggested to me by my lovely wife, Katrina.
Katrina.
It's great.
You're awesome.
Clap for Katrina. Dorian, you were a little rowdy. You were like kind of a punk in high school, right?
Kind of. I was just kind of a dork.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about like the kind of music you were into?
Yeah, I listened to a lot of punk and a lot of metal. You know, uh-huh. I have tattoos of some of my favorite bands from over the years. Like,
that's cool.
You know, Motorhead, and loved Iron Maiden, the Misfits, and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, you know, kind of like punk stuff.
Yeah,
that's appropriate because what we're gonna talk. What we're going to talk about today is a bit of a hot topic.
All right.
Today we're going to be talking about cremation.
Dude, that's the biggest dud of an intro you've ever done.
2020 fun, baby.
Oh my God. That sucked so bad. I kind of admire how much that sucked, honestly.
I'll make it up to you at the end because I'm going to have you talk a little bit about aquamation too.
Oh, all right.
Which I know you love.
I do love.
So without further ado, I don't know, maybe I want a little more ado there. let's ring in 2021 with the official Pre-Dead Boys Crack Into the Topic moment brought to you. We're still remote. Brought mm-hmm. to you on my end by Kroger Blackberry Citrus.
Very nice. I have Target brand Good and Gather Seltzer, Cranberry Citrus.
Oh, you love that Good and Gather.
I love that good shit. Yeah, it's very good. Highly recommend it.
Target's got good seltzers.
Target has been my go-to, like, I can't afford therapy. So I just go to Target and walk around and look at stuff and usually don't even buy anything.
Okay. I was a little worried you were going to say grocery store, like using Target as a grocery store. And then I was going to have to out you as a class traitor.
Oh, no. Some of their groceries are good, but you can't sustain like a full. You can't stock a pantry full of Target goods only.
No.
Unless you're fucking millionaire or some
Wildin'.
Shit. I did want to talk real briefly. It is tradition for Max to send me the show notes in a Google Doc and to start it off with an image, usually of a skeleton, usually comical. And for our cremation episode, he has sent me a picture of, it's an illustration of a skeleton with some medieval clothing and a medieval weapon of some kind, but he's on fire, kind of a Ghost Rider looking thing. It's pretty cool. pretty gnarly. I do really appreciate it.
Okay, I was gonna say, like, do you have a problem?
Oh, no,
like
I don't
have a problem.
No, I do not. In fact, I commend you on using an illustration from Aaron Miller, who I don't fucking know if he or any other illustration or Magic the Gathering nerds are listening to this episode, but he's done some really cool illustrations for like all kinds of fantasy art stuff, including Magic the Gathering. You can find his portfolio at aaronbmiller.com.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, this dude actually fucking rocks. So I think you just Googled cool skeleton on fire or something like that. But
I think I just, well, right now I have Googled skeleton on fire and I'm not seeing it.
Well, if you
Oh, wait,
go,
is this it?
He's
yeah,
just got
here a, it is. Okay, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got like a he's belt.
Just, yeah, he's a really good fantasy illustrator. You should look him up.
Yeah, I did just Google stuff. Skeleton on fire.
Anyway, yeah, I just thought that was fun. I was like, hey, this illustration kicks ass.
It was fun.
Let's talk about cremation.
Yeah, I like genuinely don't understand how we haven't already done an episode on cremation.
Yeah.
Because I feel like we like have multiple instances of talking about cremation.
That's true.
If you're listening to this podcast, you probably know what cremation is. I don't know. It's tough to come up with like a nicer way to say it, but like it's disposing of human remains by burning it in a fire.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
You just light a body on fire until it turns to ash. That's cremation.
You just walk away.
That's it.
Come on. No.
That's it.
Well, you're in for a...
Don't complicate this by making me read a definition out of the dictionary of what cremation means. Don't you do this to me.
I didn't, actually, because I think it was boring.
Oh, thank God.
but it looks like you may learn something if you think that cremation is just you light a body on fire and walk away. I mean, it is like a really simple process, and I think that there's a lot of beauty in that simplicity. And no, here it is. I have it in my notes. I do have a definition. I'm not going to make you read it. I do have this marked as the fact of the episode, though. This is a fun one. So cremation comes from the Latin word cremare, meaning to burn. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that word is connected to the Latin word for broth, which is cremor. So like if you were going to like boil something down, I know you make a broth, but like you throw bones in a pot of water and you boil it for a long time and then makes broth or whatever.
Yeah, it's a good soup.
Yeah. So you can see how these ideas are connected from cremare and cremor, the idea of like boiling a liquid down to produce something. And there's another process that also requires you to boil a liquid down to produce something. And that process is beer making.
Okay.
So the Latin word cremor is connected to the Latin word for beer, chorea.
Chorea?
Yeah, C-E-R-E-A.
Okay.
So the word, that Latin word, chorea, is where we get the word cerveza from.
Oh.
So I just like that in like a really roundabout way, the word for cremation and cerveza, like a beer, are connected.
That's because alcohol will kill you if you drink any of it.
We're really pivoting to like hardline, straight edge shit.
Yeah, we're teetotalers now, 100%. Nah,
I mean you are from Westerville, the headquarters of temperance.
Listen, I'm not from Westerville. Okay, I lived in Westerville for a little while, and it was awful. Also, they changed their mind. They put a bunch of bars in there. Like, ever since I graduated high school, it's just been one bar after another. So they don't even know what they're talking about.
Very weird that the whole town didn't have bars until like 2006, though.
It's because they're goobers.
Anyway, so let's get into the history now.
Yeah.
So as you might expect, aside from like burial and like just putting a body in the middle of a field and waiting for it to go away, cremation is one of the oldest forms of body disposal. We have forensic evidence of cremation dating back 24,000 to 19,000 years.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, like, in our modern terms, it's 22,000 BCE. And I'm going to have you read where we found this stuff now. But, like, I don't know. It just goes to show that, like, we've been setting people on fire to burn them for a long time.
Again, to clarify, dead people. Dead like, people. They're we already have, dead. Yes, we're not...
We have been burning remains.
Pre-Dead Boys do not condone arson or assaulting people by lighting them on fire.
People arson. I don't know what that's called.
People arson? Person arson?
Immolation?
Yeah, we don't endorse that.
Yeah.
If you're going to light somebody on fire, chill out. Okay, let me read the thing now. The oldest cremated human remains on record are those of the Mungo woman, discovered in 1969 near the Willandra Lakes region in southeast Australia. The cremains have been preserved because Lake Mungo itself is an alkali, a saltwater lake, creating a better environment for preservation. In addition to the Mungo woman, many remains of extinct Australian animals can also be found in the lake. Preservation of the bones is relatively poor, which is to be expected for remains of this age. However, scientists have been able to determine what the Mungo woman's funeral likely looked like. After she died, she was likely cremated in a traditional burial ceremony and in a manner that looked fairly similar to modern pyre cremation. After this, her bones were broken apart, possibly in a ritual intended to set her spirit free. After the breaking, her remains were burned once more, covered with ochre, and buried near the lake.
Yeah, I mean, aside from being, like, super old, this really isn't different than what we would see today in a cremation, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, when you look at it and you hear the story, it's like, yeah, that's cremation and a burial. I mean, I guess even in the West, even in America, we, like, you break the bones afterwards.
Yeah.
You don't burn them again, but...
Yeah, and I guess you don't, you know, you have an oven in a crematorium as opposed to a pyre.
Yeah. But we are going to talk about pyre cremations. So
modern day pyre cremations?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. A thing I like about this is that it speaks to, like, just the ritual of death and how that, like, scarlet thread continues through generations of how death is processed and how we treat the dead among us. I have a note here too. Another thing I really like is that for this particular article on Wikipedia, there have been, like, a lot of people found at Lake Mungo, and, like, because they're not going to name them, they've labeled the remains, like, LM1 for Lake Mungo 1, LM2, LM3. And the header of this article on Wikipedia has to include a note that says, quote, LM1 and LM3 redirect here. For the video games, see Luigi's Mansion and Luigi's Mansion 3.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I've never, like, seen Luigi's Mansion abbreviated LM.
Did you see that tweet where somebody posted photos of a vanity set and they wrote out, like, I am in love with this Luigi Massoni vanity set, but, like, it got trending because thousands of people were retweeting it saying, I don't remember seeing this in Luigi's Mansion. Cause, like, they just read Luigi Massoni, like, super shorthand. They were like, no, this says Luigi's Mansion. What are you talking about? I was one of those people that was just like, that was in Luigi's Mansion? Really?
Well, I didn't realize the graphics for that game were so realistic.
Yeah. Well, it's like a really well-lit photo, too, and it's like, everything in Luigi's Mansion is, like, super dark and spooky, so how could that be? Anyway, we're all
idiots.
Did
they do this in Unreal Engine?
Anyway.
That's good. I like that. So, if anything, this should just surface evidence that cremation goes back, like, a super long way to basically the beginning of humanity. And it wasn't ever really localized either. Like, we're finding evidence of this in Australia, which is a pretty remote population, which means it probably had to develop somewhere else and then get transferred to Australia in some direction, or it started in Australia and transferred back to the rest of the world. But the fact that we see evidence of it across the globe means that it was like a universal human practice. It was really done anywhere where there was sufficient trees or lumber. We've talked about this in our sky burial episode, our first one. Some places just don't have trees and that's a resource. Mm-hmm. But anywhere that had a large amount of wood, you would cremate people on a pyre, you know?
Right.
It was especially popular in India and Southeast Asia, and they got really, really good at it. Like, in Indonesia, if you were a servant, like you served a king or prince or something like that, or a princess or a queen, 2021, let's be equitable. It was like a customary thing to be cremated with the ruler you served. That's how you get like the stories about a woman's husband dies in India and they're like throwing themselves on the funeral pyre where they're still alive. If you had bad luck, that happened to you. If you had good luck, you died before the person you served died. And so they would just not cremate you for a little bit, because they realized burning a fresh body takes a lot of wood.
Hmm.
And so if you died and you were like a court servant, they would keep your body, dry it out, and store you with a bunch of other servants. And then when the ruler died, they would go pull out like all of the servants that served like King Dorian, and they would burn all of those bodies together.
I like the sound of that.
You want to be burned with like 12 different people?
No, I just like that you called me King Dorian. That was a very nice ego boost for me right now. I appreciate that. So they just had like drawers of these people like ready to go when their leader was finally kicking the bucket. How do they keep them?
It requires.
Go ahead.
It requires so much fuel to evaporate water, and most of our body is water, that it really does make more sense to let someone like dry out in the middle of like a, especially like an equatorial or close to equatorial climate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do we know if there was some procedure to make sure that they dried and didn't just rot? I mean, if you have human remains or any remains in a humid climate, it seems like, you know, wouldn't they just kind of turn into that kind of stinky mush that happens when a body decays?
You know, I didn't find anything on that exactly because I didn't really look. So
that's fair.
But, you know, there's a couple things you could do. Like, you could bury the body in sand, and that would kind of like, if you packed it in, that would help it dry out.
If you put a dead body in a very large bowl of rice, it absorbs it absorbs the moisture from you accidentally dropping the body like in a pool or in the toilet or something. Yeah, accidentally spilling some soda on your dead body.
Dunk you put it the in body in the oven for like at like 200 degrees for 3 hours.
Right, so that you don't have to call Apple for a new body.
That's probably what they did. They just put it in a big rice yes. bowl. That's really good. But yeah, so that practice in India kind of points to the reason why cremation was popular on like a global scale. And that's because a lot of world cultures have had this belief in like an innate spirit that needs to be freed from the body after death. You know, you see this in like Egyptian culture, in like most cultures we've talked about. You know, people didn't believe that you just died and that was it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People were like, there's a spirit trapped in the body and it needs to be freed. And there was also a desire to have that be in like a dignified way, you know? Like, if you cremate a body, you are controlling what happens to it. Whereas, like, if you just put a body in like a field, a wild animal can like come up and eat it, you know? Like, julep or whatever.
some wild animal, like your adorable goblin dog.
My cute dog. yeah, but I mean, before people invented good fences or coffins were really advanced, animals would just dig up bodies all the time and eat them.
Yep.
So you were kind that of left sense. With like cremating something if you wanted to really honor it.
Yeah.
I would have been fine if like history would have just continued that way too, because if cremation was the norm, we would have avoided like pumping people full of formaldehyde.
Yeah. I was kind of thinking about how it's a very well-intentioned step in the direction of a lot of the practices that we have today that are kind of nonsensical and potentially really damaging. Like, it's interesting how our culture just like views, going back to sky burials, you know, our culture in Western society tends to view that as very barbaric. Again, you look up YouTube videos about sky burials and all of the titles are super sensationalist, like, look at this brutal practice that these primitive people do. But still, in a lot of ways, it, like, if you learn about the process and why they do it and how it's actually the best way to spend the limited resources that they have, it's extremely intelligent and sustainable in a way that our modern day practices are not. So yeah, I can't help but wonder, like, is this a step, is this a first step in the wrong direction? Should we have been a little bit more okay with like, hey, you know, if a dog digs up King Dorian and takes his arm for a snack later, like, King Dorian's not here to miss that arm that the dog ran away with, you know? Like, is this a first step in our culture kind of having an opposition to that feeling of, you know, doing anything to a dead body?
Yeah, I think you're hitting on some interesting stuff there, because you are pointing out, like, you're hitting on some things that have caused the swing back to favoring cremation. Like some of the social reasons that we are cremating more now than ever. But when we talk about people like taking that first like wrong step, we have to be very careful how we say this. The reason we don't have like a strong cultural tradition of cremation is because we are white people of European descent, and Europe has been traditionally dominated by Christianity, which came out of Judaism, which was the first major world religion and people group that forbade cremation. So given a lot of things that are happening in our country now, we want to say that we denounce anti-Semitism and shit like that. And we're not saying that the Jews did like the bad thing by doing this, but you know.
That is a fair point. It should go without saying, but it is better to just outright say, like, you make a good point. It's not fair to like say that that's wrong, because that isn't like, that in and of itself is not the issue that we're running into with today's funeral and burial practices.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there was never a Jewish practice in ancient times of pumping formaldehyde in in bodies and putting them in lacquered coffins. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that's contributing to the industry being what it is today is like, has nothing to do with, you know, that culture or religion's practices. So that is a fair point.
If you're listening to this and you're like, oh, there's another reason that the Jews are wrong, you're actually the one that's wrong. So
yeah, we're not saying that.
So because of the Jewish belief in a full body resurrection, Judaism forbade cremation for a long time.
Right.
And a lot of very Orthodox sects now still forbid it. That's why, like, in Israel, you see a lot of those shared tombs. A lot of tombs were carved into rocks, and you'd put a body in there, and the body would dry out naturally in a very arid climate. And then as the body desiccated, you would break it apart, and you would put it in an ossuary box. And that was kind of what, as Judaism spread throughout like the ancient Near East, and then morphed into a lot of Christian traditions that spread throughout Europe, we saw like a steep drop off in the amount of people who were cremated. like people all across Europe were getting cremated until, you know, they got crusaded by people.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. And in a lot of other parts of the world, cremation just kind of kept going. Probably the most famous example of like cremation that's lasted a really long time is, like you mentioned earlier, the funeral pyre in the Hindu and Sikh traditions. I guess I say probably, but it's actually definitely, since we proved that Viking funerals never happened and weren't real.
Yeah, we denounced that. Sorry to spoil it for you, but go back and listen to our Norse episode for details on that. Very disappointing fact.
Yeah. I found a cool article from National Geographic, and I will link it in the show notes, which are, as always, going to be available free on Patreon.
Patreon.com/predeadboys. Look it up.
Yeah. In this article, a photographer named Pete McBride traveled down like the Ganges River, and he kept a diary of what he was seeing his whole trip. So I'm going to have you read this excerpt from a week in his travels here.
October 7th through 12th, 2013. When you step off a wooden boat onto the banks of the burning Ghat in the oldest of India's cities, and you weave through a maze of funeral pyres, hissing, steaming, and spitting orange embers into an inky night, and you feel the metronome clang of bells vibrating inside your chest, and a wave of furnace-like heat consuming everything in its reach, you realize how removed you truly are from the ritual of death. When I stepped on Varanasi's famous cremation ghat, which runs 24/7, burning hundreds of bodies a day in plain sight, it dawned on me how physically distant most of us are from the departed. In the West, the dead are typically hidden, taken away, either to be beautified for a funeral or to be cremated, depending on the beliefs. Either way, bodies are rarely seen again. Some might argue it is civilized, cleaner, or perhaps just emotionally easier. Or maybe it is the modern world's subtle way of hiding from the inevitable. At first, something seemed wrong about us being there. I didn't feel entirely comfortable documenting such private moments. I wanted to ensure we were being respectful as we documented this foreign tradition in a foreign land. Something compelled me to keep looking, to keep shooting. Perhaps it was the simple commonality in it. No matter what we do or believe, none of us gets out alive. As I photographed, a teenage boy started shadowing me. After a few minutes, he asked, "Want to see my auntie?" I looked at him confused. He explained that his family was about to cremate his aunt. I told him I was sorry for his loss. "Thank you, but apology not needed," he said. "She had a good life with much love, and she is blessed to reach moksha." As I watched the family light the funeral pyre, I thought there was something beautiful about the process unfolding before me. The rawness, the simplicity, the completeness.
I thought there was like a really well written, well described picture of what we think of is like kind of a shocking practice for us in the States. Like, you can see videos of these funeral pyres in India, and it really is like hundreds of people being cremated on these things.
Out in the open, all at the same time.
Yeah, and like, we talk a lot about this on the podcast, being very like present and involved with death. And I think India, being a culture where they believe in that kind of cyclical life force, there is that sense of like, well, this isn't the end. So it's not, death isn't as like almost repulsive as it is to us when we just, when someone dies and we just go, okay, they are gone. You know, like, we're going to put them in a large truck that's going to drive them to a funeral home, and we won't see it again until we get the ashes back or something.
Yeah. It is interesting. It's not just that these people have a belief system, like believing in reincarnation or something. There is just some degree of like closure and peace that seems to come with this process of seeing the body depart, you know, like watching this final process of someone's physical remains leave in the same way like that person already left when they died. I don't know. Like, it's interesting to me because just as a traditional Western person, my immediate kind of gut response is, whoa, like to be kind of sensationalized by the idea of seeing all of these bodies out in the open at the same time. And I don't know. I wonder how many times I and other people like me have kind of robbed ourselves of a certain experience of closure with watching a process like this, you know, like seeing the final moments of someone's body and then like learning to be at peace and getting closure from that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I don't know. I mean, there's just not really a way to, well, there are ways and we are going to talk about it, but there's not really readily accessible ways to experience that in America right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder what it would look like to have social change get to a point where we do have that.
Max, you and I are going to lead the charge with the death positive movement. We're going to be the example that we want to see the rest of the Western world adopt. Whichever one of us dies first, this is a promise. This is a vow. You have to like enter this oath with me. Whoever survives the other one is going to chuck the other one's body in a Walmart parking lot and just start a big old pallet fire right then and there.
Have you seen those fucking photos of that guy who drives around Columbus with like 30 pallets strapped to the back of his car?
No. Sounds like he's getting ready for some pyres,
dude. Yeah, like maybe we could ask him to help us out.
All right, yeah. If it's me that dies first, then like just get in touch with him, and I'm sure he knows what he's doing. I'm sure he could set up a big badass fire.
Well, so keep that in your cap. I don't really know what to say there.
Keep that energy.
Yeah, make a note of that, because we are going to cycle back around to that, and specifically why you can't do that in America now, but also where you can.
I can't do that in America. That's a fucking outrage. I'm going to storm the fucking Capitol. No, I'm not.
So let's get, it sounds like you're getting really worked up about American politics right now.
Always.
Let's take a step back to Europe for a bit. Maybe that'll calm you down. Because I do want to talk about how cremation like caught back on in the West. It really wasn't until the late 1800s that cremation was even started to become socially acceptable in England and throughout most of Europe. And a big player in making cremation a more acceptable process was actually miasma theory. Do you remember what like miasma theory was?
It's basically if you are near a dead person, then you will get a disease. Right? It was like just death in and of itself was like this contagious thing that could spread to you, not disease or germs or something that, you know, has some leg in science, but just there's some magical death energy that's around dead people that you can catch and die from if you're close enough to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, basically. So they hadn't come up with germ theory yet. They didn't know what germs were. So there were diseases like cholera and typhoid.
Now, wait a second. I just want to take a moment to recognize this step of growth and recognize that you have not demeaned old-timey people. I just want to give a cheers to Max growing up a little bit and not making fun of people just because they existed a long time ago. Cheers. Thank you for...
Cheers.
Let's recognize this success.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a beautiful moment.
Growth. 2020 fun. yeah, so there were a bunch of diseases that were killing a lot of people.
I thought you were going to be like, so anyway, these dumbass old-timey people.
No. Come on. No.
Okay.
So there were these diseases, and they were killing these people.
Yeah.
Who were human beings that were being killed by really brutal diseases.
Yeah, that's brutal.
they don't deserve to be made fun of.
Yeah, that's right.
Especially cholera was killing like 5,000 people a year in some English cities, which like there were a lot less people back in the late 1800s, and 5,000 people was a sizable chunk.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But they blamed these diseases on bad air. So like if you got sick and you started to die, you would contaminate the air around you. And we talked about this in our plagues episode. Instead of like washing their hands or not dumping shit into the streets, these people were dummies, and they would just like, if someone in your house got cholera, they would just be like, all right, you got to put boards on the windows and you got to lock the doors and you're stuck in there. You know?
All right, go ahead, say it. Dumb asshole, tiny people.
They were dummies.
This is very true in this particular case. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, you know, they believed that air that touched dead people became contaminated, and that was what caused disease to spread. And because all these people are dying, graveyards are filling up super fast. Great Britain, the United Kingdom, is their islands. So land is a premium, you know? It was not like you can just make more land.
Right.
So they were running out of space to put bodies. They had built the London Necropolis, and that was starting to fill up. And there was also, because of English colonization, there was a much larger Indian population in England than there had ever been. These Indian people who were in England were like, you can't sustainably keep burying people. You need to look into cremation. And these English doctors were like, well, maybe if we cremated the bodies, then there won't be any more bad air to spread disease around. And it like actually worked. This is how cremation started to catch on in Europe. Not because like burning a body gets rid of the bad air that it has, but because fire kills germs.
Okay. So it sounds like they did kind of play off of people's fears at the time, people's irrational fears, to kind of market the idea of cremation to people.
Yes. Yeah, okay. It started explicitly as like a, this prevents the spread of disease thing.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, all like the Indians in England are like, well, also you don't have any more land.
Yeah.
So like around the early 1900s, cremation starts picking up more and more steam as the preferred form of body disposal. It really started picking up when like the Anglican and Protestant churches in England okayed the practice. And their rationale was, quote, God can resurrect a bowl of ashes just as conveniently as he can resurrect a bowl of dust.
Hmm.
Which is true, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if he's God, I don't think that, like, he burned it. You tricked God.
Oh, I can't. Like, God can do, like, an 80-piece puzzle of, like, bones, but he can't do, like, a 200-piece puzzle of dust bits.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And this started getting popularized as the church started codifying it. So the first cremains were interred in Westminster Abbey, which is like, if you're the who's who of England, that's where you're buried.
It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame of England.
That's so not inaccurate.
I just like making a really irreverent comparison. It's like, oh, it's kind of a big deal, kind of like how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is very important,
which it's fine.
It's not important. There's a bunch of Ohioans who are going to act like it's the most important thing in the world. Don't let any of us fool you. It's stupid.
It's fine if you can get in for free. If I paid to go, I would be really upset.
Yeah, you go in like, oh, look, it's one of Paul McCartney's 7,000 guitars that he's owned in his lifetime. All right. Bye.
He spent $35 to do that.
Anyway, Westminster Abbey.
Yeah. They took cremains in 1905. And eventually they were like, wow, we can fit a lot more urns in here than we can like body length coffins. So pretty quickly they got to a point where they were specifically requesting cremains.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were going to be interred there, they were like, we really, really, really want you to be cremated. The Catholic Church was a little less into it, but they weren't going to like kick you out of heaven for it.
Okay.
And like all things considered, things were going really well for cremation in Europe. Like by the 60s and 70s, it became the most popular means for body disposal in most European countries. Because here in the States, we have a lot more land. So we didn't pass that mark until 2016. But I still think it's cool that we are cremating more people than we're burying.
Mm-hmm. Much more sustainable in the long run.
Yeah, and it's getting more and more popular. But there are some restrictions on it. Like, you have to be cremated in a crematorium. You can't just, like you said, roll up to a Walmart parking lot with some pallets and burn a body there.
You fucking oppressor. Listen, if I want to do it and it's my body, don't stop me, all right? How dare you?
Well, hey, maybe you can join up with some folks out in Colorado named the Creestone End of Life Project.
Oh, I'm listening.
Yeah, they are like, so they're in Southwest Colorado, kind of by the Four Corners region. And they are firmly into like tearing down the like quote unquote traditional burial method. I'm going to have you read from their mission statement here. You can find this on their website, which has a great name, informedfinalchoices.org.
All right. Sounds informational.
that was funny. I thought that was funny.
That was profoundly stupid. You can say it.
That was funny. Yeah, I thought it was funny. You think it was stupider than Hot Topic?
No, I don't. The Creestone End of Life Project, or the CEOLP, is a non-denominational community-based group promoting informed end-of-life choices and supporting their fulfillment for Creestone and Siwash County residents or property owners. The Creestone End-of-Life Project's mission is to provide practical support to individuals in making informed end-of-life choices, to educate community members about the required end-of-life documents and offer assistance in filling them out, to offer mindful and compassionate care for the body of the deceased, to assist family and friends in planning meaningful memorial ceremonies and rituals, to establish and maintain a permanent and legal open-air cremation site in the Creestone area, to promote green natural burial at the local Creestone Cemetery and elsewhere, to train individuals in providing skillful service to others during the final transitions of death, and to support other communities in developing their own end-of-life organizations.
I love this.
Let's fucking go. We hit all the items on the checklist here, Max. We're
right?
Opening up some more green burial options in arguably one of the most beautiful natural areas mm-hmm. across this country. Plenty of space to do that. Open air cremation. Let's fucking go. I'm going to Walmart in Colorado and burning my body there.
So, like, well, you... No, you can't.
What?
Like...
Am I free or not, Max?
There are a lot of dog shit things about America.
Yes, I do agree with this.
But there are a lot of kick-ass things about America, too.
Yes.
And this is one of my favorite things. My high school had about 2,500 students. The county that this organization is in has 6,000 residents.
That's so pretty small.
Yeah, so it's less than three times the size of my high school, which, like, my high school is big, but, like, this is a tiny, tiny little county that has this, like, awesome group in it. And I really love, like, I found a couple of these when you're just kind of going on a road trip and just driving, and you are like, oh, we'll pull over in this town and get gas or whatever. And everyone in this like tiny little town is like super into one particular thing. For this town, it's building an open air funeral pyre and encouraging green burials.
They're all into it.
Yeah, they are into it and they're keeping it local. This is one of less than five spots in the U.S. where an open air cremation is legal. And you have to use this funeral pyre. You have to live or own land in the town. I know it's tough to kind of like judge a like how big a group's presence is. And it kind of seems like maybe I got all this information off of like an Angel Fire webpage or something like that. But I want you to go to their website and like look at these photos. This town is like sold out to this mission and they are into doing this.
Wow.
Right?
This is beautiful. This is beautiful. They have someone who has died wrapped in some kind of blanket or shroud, and then they put some what looks like pine branches on top, and just having a big old fire.
Mm-hmm. And there's like a lot of people there.
Yeah. Oh, this is cool. I'm looking at they have plaques set up on a post with the birth and death date of individual people. And a couple of these have symbols on them. Like one has a Star of David, so presumably this person was Jewish or has some kind of faith association with that. But someone else has a fish in water.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like of spiritual significance or if they just really liked fishing.
Yeah. She just thought that was the image she wanted on there.
Yeah. Man, there's some beautiful... Somebody took... This photographer, Taylor McIntosh, took a bunch of beautiful black and white photos.
Mm-hmm. You can see this photos of their like their green burial stuff there, too. You scroll a little further down.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't like a small county like Franklin County where we live. This is like a large chunk of the state. For only having 6,000 people... This is like a well-developed, well-thought-out, well-run program. It's super cool.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's getting people in this area engaged with death and doing that in a sustainable way.
Yeah, and what a cool cap on the end of someone's life of like having people gather and watch this process, but also share stories and celebrate this person's life.
Yeah, and it's
this
like...
This is awesome.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, I like... I'll put photos of this in the show notes, but like the whole, I guess, cremation takes place in like kind of a ring of sticks. Like there's like a fence kind of around it, and it's all handmade and they built this themselves. It's, I don't know. It's really a lot more like in touch with things than being put into like a sealed metal chamber until there's 5 to 6 pounds of you left over and then broken apart with a rake, you know?
Yeah. Want to give a little shout out here. It looks like on their website they do have some resources of home funeral choices, some documents for stuff. There's a little section about knowing your rights and starting an end-of-life group. This seems like a really fucking awesome resource. I don't know if I wonder how much like, you know, Caitlin Doty and all the death positive movement people kind of know about what's going on here.
Yeah. Super cool little group. I like they're awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is very cool. I'm going to poke around on this website for a little bit later tonight.
Oh yeah. I did want to give you a little bonus as we enter the new year as well. You want to talk about Aquamation for a bit too?
Yeah.
So this is like your like realistic death plan, right?
I mean, second most realistic. The Walmart parking lot pyre is still kind of, I don't know why you keep rolling your eyes every time I say it, like it's not realistic. But yeah, aquamation or water cremation or alkaline hydrolysis definitely sounds like my preferred way of going. Did you have a definition in the show notes for me to read about that?
No. I mean, we talked about it a bit in our like Death in Space episode. Can you describe what the process is?
Yeah, my understanding is it's basically like water is being run through like this cage of your remains. And when the whole process is done, it has removed all of the biological material except for the bones. And that is very appealing to me, because while some people are going to opt to like bury the bones or cremate those and do something else with those ashes, I personally would love for my bones to be souvenirs for my friends and family at my funeral. You know, make a little necklace or something out of Grandpa Dorian's finger bones.
Maybe you've been downgraded from king to a grandpa.
Look, I'll settle for grandpa. Grandpa is an honorable title. I'll take that. That's what I would prefer. And as far as like when I think through all of the processes of end of life options that we've discussed on this show, that is, you know, my preferred so far. But I think that you bring up some cool things with this episode of like, you know, the whole spirit of cremation from the beginning of its history up until today has kind of been like offering an alternative option. Mm-hmm. It has been basically option number two in Western society up until what sounds like recently.
Yes.
But, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, it's just good to give this consideration and look into your options, whether you want to be buried or cremated or donate your body to science or a body farm or something. Just the spirit of having other options is what I take away as like maybe the single most important thing here, that, you know, it's good for us to explore these options and not just be resigned to, hey, the one way we've been doing things as a society is the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's spot on. And we are seeing that happen now too with aquamation. I have seen a lot of like cremation is accepted. Like it's not taboo anymore.
Right.
I've seen a lot of stuff on aquamation where people are like, so you're basically putting a body in like a pressure cooker.
Right.
And people get really grossed out because of that. But like, I think so much of what we need to consider with death and our population moving forward is that like sustainability aspect and being not only environmentally conscious, but like conscious towards your family and loved ones that you leave behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's expensive to have a traditional funeral. And we're seeing like more and more groups that promote an equitable access to end of life practices, pushing open air funeral pyres and pushing aquamation. It's currently legal in 18 of the 50 states, which is kind of cool. Not in Ohio. We haven't got there yet.
Bullshit. That's garbage.
But like,
we're going to change things around here.
Yeah, we got to. This is the thing we need to fix.
well, one of them.
We can have nuanced priorities.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, this is the future. You know, we talked about it in Death in Space, but like, aquamation renders a body much more usable for fertilization. So like, this is what we're going to use on like Mars probably. Yeah, I think it really is cool to have these practices that have lasted us from the time of the Mungo lady from 24,000 years ago to when we're colonizing Mars one day. I think that's dope.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Make sure if you're listening to this, check out informedfinalchoices.org. Look up Order of the Good Death online. Just explore your options. And I think it's really cool to consider not only what you can do with your physical remains, but also just there's other ways for you to leave something behind in life beyond just pumping your body full of formaldehyde and making a really expensive coffin and stuff like that.
That's so good.
And if you're just joining us on this podcast here, if this is your first episode, we talk about all kinds of different ways that people throughout history have done that. So keep checking us out. A lot of cool episodes where we explore different world cultures and different end of life options. Just hang out with us. We'll keep talking about this stuff. It's good stuff to talk about and explore. You're not limited to burial.
No.
Sick. Max, thanks for putting this shit together, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, no problem, dude.
What did you guys think, though? you listening to this, listening through your AirPods or your Bluetooth speaker or your fucking, I don't know what you drive, probably a minivan or a Tesla or something. Whatever you're listening to. I don't know. We would love to hear your thoughts. How do you want to be buried or cremated? Is this weird to you? Do you think it's cool? Reach out to us. Talk to us at PreDeadBoys on Twitter and Instagram. You can also email the podcast, predeadboys@gmail.com, with any comments, questions, thoughts, angry complaint letters. We'll take it all. We'll take it all. We appreciate it all.
Yeah.
You can join our Facebook group. Just search Pre-Dead Boys Podcast on Facebook, or join our Discord. Our Discord is popping. We got a lot of great people on there who are sharing all kinds of news about end-of-life options, also songs and media about death is entertaining. We got a lot of adorable pet photos and videos and stuff. Just, it's a good little community that I've been really stoked we've been able to keep that up and, you know, check in on people and all talk and hang out during the pandemic and during our little break from this podcast over the past month or so. So shout out to the Discord. And if you're not in the Discord and you want to join that, just send us a message and we'll hook you up with an invite.
I realize Discord can be a little intimidating if you are someone like me and you don't really do a lot of like internet culture stuff. It can be a little freaky. I'm not good at the Discord, but I'm on it and I can look at pictures of cute animals and I find that to be easy.
Yes.
So don't be freaked out by the fact that it's a new chat client.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a good year for getting to know new ways of communicating with people.
Yeah.
And I would say I'm running the Discord and I'm still learning like how the thing works. And fortunately we have some very cool, very patient people who are not righteously making fun of me for how much of a goober I am and how I don't know how to run a Discord. But you know, what's important is the people in there are super chill and it's been a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
So shout out to everybody in the Discord. We love you. If you want to support what we do, one way you can do that is to financially support us. Go check out patreon.com/predeadboys. Patreon is a service where you can pledge a small amount of money every month, as little as $1 a month, to help us kind of cover the cost of our time and resources that we put into making this show. And you get some extra goodies. If you donate at least $5 a month, we're going to do a bonus episode that you can only access through Patreon. And, you know, if you don't want to donate, but you still want to check out the notes for this episode and previous episodes where we'll link, you know, websites that we refer to and articles and show some photos that you can't hear through an audio format. All of that stuff is posted over at patreon.com/predeadboys. Make sure you check it out. And if you have the means and are able to financially support us, we really appreciate that.
Yep.
You can also leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, and we will read it out loud here on an episode. But just honestly, the best way that you can support our podcast, as always, is just spread the word. Tell somebody about this episode, share an episode with a friend, post on social media. That does more for us than any amount of money can do. We don't really advertise. We don't really care to like make a huge profit off of this podcast. We are very much, you know, Max and I both care about people knowing that there are more options with what to do with your body after you die and understanding how different cultures approach this. You know, there's just so much to talk about here that we don't want to limit it just to having this be something that's a lucrative career for us. And we really enjoy that we've been word of mouth up until this point. We want to keep that going as long as possible. So yeah, just share an episode or this podcast or any of this information that we share with other people. That's the best way you can show support for us, and we would really appreciate you doing that.
Yep.
Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check out bratcurse.bandcamp.com or search Brat Curse on Spotify or wherever you listen to music. Give them a listen. They're a really fun Ohio punk band that we love dearly. And that's going to do it for us here. Max, we did it. Our 64th episode.
How are you going to sell it?
It's-a me. 64th episode. Do you get it? Do you get my joke?
I I do. You're really saving that to the end, huh?
Yeah, it's good. It's the most clever joke I could come up with, so I saved it for the very end.
Katrina just finished replaying through Ocarina of Time, which was delightful to watch.
This is a good Nintendo 64 game. Yeah. I never played it. Zelda games are trash.
That's absolutely not what... Oh, maybe it's what you believe. I don't know.
No, I don't actually believe that. Zelda's good. Cool. I'm going to go play some now.
Cool. Can you name a car real quick? Can you name a car that's not a Mazda, which you drive, or a minivan, or a Tesla?
A Chevy Mazda. This has been Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're going to rot. Shut up, Max. Yeah, man. We're a 2-year-old toddler podcast. Fair food. We're still just like shitting our pants. Yeah, man, we're a 2-year-old toddler podcast.
Terrible twos. We made it.
We're still terrible. We're still just like shitting our pants and causing problems for everybody.
Do you not want to count it off?
Huh? No, I don't. New year, new me. Yeah, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
6, 7. Hey, stop the count. This is kind of a fun political.
Boo!
I
hate that. No, that was it. I mean, that's enough to sync it up. Also, I don't want to encourage your bad behavior, so we're not going to redo it.